Students and community members rallied in June in Watts to protest the firing of Jordan High School teacher Karen Salazar. She joins us in studio today. The second-year English instructor had been notified earlier in the school year that her contract would not be renewed. Well, Salazar had been accused of being too Afrocentric, quote-unquote. She was observed by the administration more than 15 times. She was negatively evaluated by the school's principal for supposed indoctrination. Her English classes, popular among many students, utilized the LAUSD-approved autobiography of Malcolm X by Alex Haley and other culturally relevant course materials. In solidarity with Salazar, a number of supportive faculty members pledged to leave Jordan High, following in the steps of fellow teacher Mark Gonzalez, who resigned on the final day of instruction. In light of this controversy, both Karen Salazar and Mark Gonzalez are invited speakers at this year's fifth annual Malcolm X Day. The event, happening this evening at Virginia Park in Santa Monica, will focus on issues of education and on Malcolm X as a figure of critical pedagogy. Karen, Mark, welcome to Uprising.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, for listeners who are not familiar with what happened, I just gave a brief sort of overview. But Karen, how is it that you were accused of being too Afrocentric? I mean, what does that mean for someone to accuse you of that in today's day and age in Los Angeles, in Jordan High?
Well, I think it definitely means that people of color, we are not allowed to love ourselves and each other. I think that's what, you know, one of the critical messages that's sent is that education shouldn't be a space for us to begin to develop our own identities on our own terms that affirm who we are and are about self-love. So I think that's kind of the message that's sent. Just a little bit of background on what happened. It actually goes a little bit longer than just, you know, that one Malcolm X, you know, assignment. I think, you know, a lot of it is kind of focused on that because that's when things kind of, you know, began to escalate. But I think really had more to do with the fact that students were organizing, and it was something that was student-led. So it was, you know, an act of self-determination on the part of the students really organizing for what they felt they deserved, you know, in their place of learning. And so, you know, the administration tried to go after the students, wasn't able to get them, and so started going after the faculty, which, you know, would be Mark and me, you know, mostly. And so my situation just kind of arose out of that.
And Mark, you resigned in solidarity. Why specifically? I mean, what was this is a pretty big action to take. You had a job and you resigned. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we actually had a press conference in front of Jordan, and we were able to get everyone from Univision de Telemundo to the LA Times, and the story spread. And I went and remember one reporter asking specifically, how does it feel to put your whole educational career on jeopardy with this move? And I was like, well, thanks for putting it in that perspective.
I wanted to say it like that too. But.
You know, but when it comes down to it, education is an extremely emotionally taxing, not just job, but lifestyle. I mean, it's not just you're there 6 hours a day. You have time before school, after school, time in the community, with community members, with families on weekends, and even the time in the classroom where you're not just developing the curriculum instruction, but you're actually developing relationships. And in that kind of environment, it gets very emotionally draining when you're understanding how many of your students are being locked up, how many have been shot at, whether by the police or by the streets, how many are dealing with issues at home, deals with papers, with foster care system, that to be in an environment where you understand that your colleagues and yourself are being attacked for actually trying to support the students, and not just individually, but address why they're being attacked institutionally, that you begin to say that, you know what, it's not all right, and I'm not going to stand by here as long as they continue to fire those who actually care every day about the students, because if Salazar goes, I know I'm next, and I know who else is coming after that. And it begins a ripple effect because it's not just an individual action. It's a deliberate action taken to send both a message and to set a precedence that if you actually begin to utilize curriculum that addresses students from their cultural background and teaches them to not only love themselves but to know themselves and their people and their history in order to determine their future, that if those kinds of educators are the ones being fired, then the whole school system is going to continue to go in that direction and stands have to be made.
Let's talk about Malcolm X. I mean, his life, his autobiography is a very sort of teachable story. story. I mean, it's a story that can teach particularly young kids and kids who feel neglected that one can make something of oneself and one can be, you know, stand for something. Now, tell us, Karen, and I'm sorry, I've been mispronouncing your name, Karen. Tell us a little bit about how you used this story, how you used the life mm-hmm. of Malcolm X. Because when we think about Malcolm X, we think about Black power, we think about civil rights, but we don't always think about it in terms of education, particularly mm-hmm. for young kids.
I think one of the major lessons that we can take from Malcolm is we can look at his humility, because he was an extremely humble man to be able to really reflect on who he is and be critical and recognize that he has faults. I think that's one of the major lessons learned from Malcolm, is that he was constantly reflecting on his identity, who he was, how that identity had been formed, either imposed on him, and how he, you know, resisted that imposition. And so that's really kind of in the context of how I wanted to use Malcolm in the classroom, you know, particularly as young people, you know, teenagers still really in the process of developing who they are, understanding themselves as members of this world, you know, people in this world. Malcolm was really, you know, I know, huge for me and for a whole lot of other people, just kind of understanding how it is that we got to see ourselves in the way that we do, and how to reject some of the dehumanizing aspects of our own identity, how we've internalized that. And so that was really the context of using Malcolm, and I think that students really identified with it. You know, they, you know, were immediate. It wasn't something that had to be taught, like, hey, you know, this is what it means to be devalued or dehumanized in society. They know it. They just need to be able to put words to it. You know, and Malcolm, I think, provides a lot of those words through his own experiences, through his story. I think that a lot of our students are able to identify and see themselves through his story.
Mark, I'd like to get your opinion on the same thing. I mean, when we think about Malcolm X, the event that this evening at Virginia Park in Santa Monica that you and Karen are going to be speaking at, it's entitled Malcolm X, a Master Teacher of Critical Pedagogy to Transform the World. So the two of you are no longer at Jordan High, but, you know, you're going to be, I'm assuming, taking your teaching using aspects of Malcolm X's work to further educate children. Where do you go next, and how do you use Malcolm X's work and life next? Today is apparently the 5th annual Malcolm X Day in LA, I'm guessing.
Well, I think where to go next is on several fold. Personally, there's always a question where to go academically and with what I want to do in education. And ironically, where I was going to go, you had on your show previously, I was actually slated to go to the high school for the recording arts, which had their public charter pulled.
That's Hip Hop High, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, my goodness. So from Jordan High to Hip Hop High, but now Hip Hop High's charter.
Yeah, we had actually set up a lot of partnerships with Assemblies and Motions, Common Ground, which does HIV prevention on the west side, for actually providing both economic and emotional support for youth at Hip Hop High.
And listeners may recall we had a discussion right here in this studio with students from that school and the principal.
So I think what Malcolm actually provides is a beautiful example and a model of someone who took an individual transformation about himself to a local level, to a national level, then to an international level. And speaking with people who actually knew Malcolm, like Grace Boggs in Detroit and different people, you know, the San Francisco 8 who was just down here, the former Panthers being tried again, it's one of the things that has routinely come up, is to not allow your conversation to be isolated to an individual example. And I think with where to go with Salazar is the same question that, you know, a lot of us have been having in education in the community in Los Angeles for a while, is how do we actually begin a dialogue on what it means to have community control of education, and what is the responsibility of the school, not just physically, but the administration, economically, to the community that it claims to serve. You know, families are not there because the school is there. The school is there because the families are there, and we need to recognize that as the primary basis. You have the California Nurses Association on, and from my understanding, the way they were formulated was a group of nurses who, in a times when unions were looking at how to get more more profit, said, you know what, we need to put people over profit. And I think that's the question that needs to happen in education and going from here, is tying what's going on at Jordan and what happened with Salazar to what's going on with Hip Hop High, to the attacks that happened on Academia Semillas for, you know, providing indigenous language, you know, to the creation of the Youth Justice Coalition, a public charter school, and really look at this shift that's occurring across the Los Angeles terrain over the last 10 to 15 years, as well as the other educators prior to Salazar mm-hmm. that's been fired. You know, Amatis over at Locke High School and the work she was doing with the Locke Student Union, and so many other key educators who have regularly put their name and their livelihood and their people on their on the line, and really say, how do we come together as a collective and come together with the family and to come together with the students and come together with all the individuals, our community, and stop doing for one another and do with one another mm-hmm. and actually form a substantial base and foundation that not only has that dialogue but has a vision and a platform to actually begin growing community control.
I think you bring up some really good points. I mean, ultimately, education is about the students and the teachers and those two groups. And of course, with parents playing a big role, I mean, we talk about how Los Angeles as a community has become so diverse. I mean, this is a society, this is a community in this part of the country that is increasingly brown and black. And our children are not learning about figures like Malcolm X as much as they're learning about George Washington, et cetera, mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson. And so these role models, of course, provide a very different example. So finally, Karen, where do you personally also go? And Mark referred to a couple of other educators that went before you that have mm-hmm. essentially had to sacrifice their careers. Mm-hmm. Where do you go from here? And do you connect with other folks like this to try to start new initiatives and move forward?
Well, definitely. I think that one of the major reasons why my case was able to get a lot of attention was because I am already part of an organization that does a lot of the work that Mark is talking about. I'm a member of the Association of Raza Educators, and without having that organized space already there set up, this is exactly what we do. We defend our people when we know that the union isn't going to defend our people, and defend our students and their families and their communities. So really, you know, the Association of Raza Educators, continuing the work with that. We have a conference here in LA planned for February. We're going to, you know, be at the Malcolm X event tonight. You know, we're actually going to be giving out some free lesson plans around Malcolm's speech, The Ballad of the Bullet.
Get your free lesson plan on, educators.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
You need them.
So especially right now, election time, you know, students, you know, really yeah. latch on to that, and they're interested and they're motivated to, you know, really engage in those conversations. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, check us out. You know, we meet monthly on Thursdays afternoon. You can check out the website, razaeducators.org. Again, we'll be at the Malcolm X event tonight. As for me personally, you know, Mark, I think, said it best, you know, a while back, is, you know, we may not be at Jordan. We're still in Watts. Mm. You know, I'm going to Watts later today to pick up some students, you know, chill with them for a minute, you know, see their families, that kind of thing. So they didn't kick us out of the community. We're still there. We're still committed. And in terms of, you know, my education, I'm going to continue, you know, teaching. I actually have a job. I'm going to be at a charter because I was blacklisted at LAUSD. Mm. So I will be continuing to teach starting in September.
Well, Karen Salazar and Mark Gonzalez, I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today. They're going to be at Virginia Park, Santa Monica at 7 p.m. today for the 5th annual Malcolm X Day. They'll be handing out free lesson plans. So thank you both and best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.